Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hey, and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And you're joining us for the third day of our lesson, Should I Put This on My Resume? Well, if you are looking for a job, then I hope you have joined us for the last couple of days. We've been talking about tips for what you should put on or what you should leave off of your resume if you're applying for a job. Carolyn, what was one helpful tip that we talked about yesterday for what you should put on or take off of your resume?
Well, yesterday we talked about two great tips. The first one was a disability. If you have a disability, it's a very difficult decision whether or not you should disclose that information to your potential employer. We also talked about how you should not state explicitly if you have a disability, but you can do some different things to break the ice on that issue.
That's right, and Carolyn used some good key words from yesterday right there. Another tip that we learned was about your grade point average. Sometimes a job might want to see your grade point average, but often you might want to leave your grade point average off, especially if it's been a while since you graduated from college. Well, we have some more tips to look at today, so let's get started with the first reading of today. Should I put this on my resume?
Should I put this on my resume? Number 5. Objective. Never put an objective, Hurwitz says. The real objective is to get the job. If it is too generic, it means nothing. If it is not a perfect match for the job, the employer will ask herself, why is he applying if he wants something else? It's a waste of space and has no advantage. Number 6. A photo. If you're pursuing a modeling career, it's understandable that you would want to share a photo of yourself with the prospective employer. For most other jobs, leave the photo off. If information isn't relevant to a job, you wouldn't include it, so why would you share a photo when your appearance has nothing to do with the position?
Hello, listeners. This is your word lady, Ellen. You're sending out resumes to prospective employers. Should you include a picture? Provide a link to information online? As we finish off our career article for this month, we'll get some last tips on what is best left on or off the application. Before we do, let's hear the vocabulary for today. Generic. Generic is an adjective. Describing Leo as a tall, middle-aged man is too generic. I still don't know what he looks like. Portfolio. Portfolio is a noun. If you want to become an artist, save everything you do as part of your portfolio. Applicable. Applicable is an adjective. Diane's advice would work in America, but it isn't really applicable in Asia. Sparsely. Sparsely is an adverb. School meetings are sparsely attended by parents. Your more information words are quick response code. Quick response code is a noun. Replica. Replica is a noun. Sounds like we'll be learning some really great information. Let's begin.
Well, those are two really great tips about things that you might want to not include in your resume. And our lesson today is, should I put this on my resume? And before we get into the lesson too much, we want to go see Steve and Ken in the information cloud because they have something very important to tell us.
As we focus on resume today, let's take a closer look at this word. Sometimes we see it with an accent mark over the last E so that it can be distinguished from the verb resume.
Right. Good point, Ken. For a handful of reasons, accent marks or diacritics are quite useful, but their main function is to give English letters a different phonetic sound.
There are many common English words that contain diacritics, like fiancé, déjà vu, exposé, and café.
Even names can include a diacritic, like 19th century author Charlotte Bronte and 21st century pop singer Beyoncé.
And if you haven't yet, get to know the diacritics over the words jalapeno and naive. Any others, Steve?
Well, the word facade is somewhat unique because its diacritic is under the letter C.
Diacritics are easy to write if you're using a pen or pencil, but what do you do if you're using a computer keyboard, smartphone, or tablet?
Well, some word processing software is intuitive and will automatically add diacritics for you, so try that first. If that doesn't work, though, log on to the internet and type in Typing International Accent Marks and Diacritics for more help.
Resume, 履历表这个字其实是个外来语，它源自法文，所以有时候呢会看到 resume 字尾的一上方会有一撇，那是个变音符号，英文叫做 diacritic。Diacritic 有很多种，通常是标在字母的上方，有时候是一撇，像 resume、fiancé 未婚夫，有时候呢是两个点，像 naive 天真的，但有时候呢是标在字母的下方，像 facade。建筑物的外观，那有些变音符号的字原本都是外来语，但随着外来语的英语化，变音符号也由原先的一定要有变成可有可无，最后往往就省略了。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Thank you guys. Well, we're going to our fifth tip of this lesson, and it is objective.Never put an objective, Hurwitz says. But let me pause right there and ask Carolyn, what is an objective?
Well, many times your objective is your goal. Mm-hmm. And sometimes when we write a resume, at the very top, we'll put our objective and say why we want the position at this company. But here, Hurwitz says that we really shouldn't put an objective.
All right, and we're going to continue learning why. But it's true. In life, you have objectives. You have different goals for different things. So you have your objectives. But maybe it's smart not to put your objective on your resume. You know what it is inside your head. Just don't write it down. We continue. The real objective is to get the job. So if it is too generic, it means nothing. All right, let's take a look at that word there.The word is generic. Now, if something is generic, that means it's not very detailed, it's not very specific. Maybe someone might say it is vague. You don't really know what the person means by something generic. How else could you use that word?
Well, a lot of times when I hear the word generic, I think of a brand. Mm-hmm. You might have a name brand for something, and then also a generic brand. This is very common when you're getting your medicine. You might get a name brand medicine or a generic brand that is a little bit cheaper.
That's right. I think sometimes people prefer to buy name brands, and then other people don't really care if they spend somethingspend a little less money on something generic. Well, if you put your goal or objective and it's too generic, it means nothing. But, we continue, if it is not a perfect match for the job, the employer will ask herself, why is he applying if he wants something else? So if you're applying for a job, this just means that you know what you're applying for,The boss knows what you're applying for. You don't need to write down what you are applying for.
That's right. It seems a little bit superfluous. It's not necessary to include an objective on your resume, even though some people might recommend it. And we see in our article, it's a waste of space and has no advantage. You know what you're applying for. The employer already knows what job you want, so really it has no place on your resume and just takes up space.
That's right. It's a waste of space. You can use this phrase, a waste of something. Maybe a waste of space if there is not much room in your car and someone has a lot of things in there. You might say, that's a waste of space. We need to use this car. Or maybe clean up your room a little bit. Why do you need that piece of furniture there? That's a waste of space.
That's right. There are many ways to use that phrase. And we have another tip here in our article, our sixth piece of advice, a photo. If you are pursuing a modeling career, it's understandable that you would want to share a photo of yourself with the prospective employer. So if you have a job that requires your appearance to be very important, like modeling or maybe being on TV, you might need to include a photo in your resume. But how does it continue, Gabe?
Well, for most other jobs, leave the photo off. We read, if information isn't relevant to a job, you wouldn't include it. So why include a photo? So why would you share a photo when your appearance has nothing to do with the position? So what the author is saying is that a photo is kind of like information that isn't relative to most jobs.
That's right. So if you have a very specific job that you're applying for, like here, a modeling career, or maybe you want to be an actor or an actress, then you might need to include a photo. Your employer expects one. Mm-hmm. But if your appearance is not really relevant to the job, then you don't need to put a photo on your resume.
That's right. Your appearance has nothing to do with the position. I like that phrase, to have something to do with something or to have nothing to do with something. If your appearance has something to do with it, that means it is related. If it has nothing to do with it, it means it is not related.
That's right. Well, now it's time for us to join Michelle in the language lab.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点，我们看到开头的 objective 这个名词。Objective 当名词是指目标，而且通常就是可评估的目标。例如 ,our next quarter's sales objective is $2 million. 我们下一季的销售目标是200万美金。Objective 也可以当形容词，意思是指客观的。例如 ,as a news reporter, you should stay as objective as possible. 身为一位新闻记者，你应该要尽量的保持中立。接下来我们看的是 generic 这个形容词。Generic 是指普通的或一般的，例如 This generic drug works as well as that well-known brand. 这个一般的药和那个知名药厂的药是一样有效的。或者是 The couple lives in a generic California house with white walls and a swimming pool. 这位夫妻住在一栋一般的加州的房子里，有白色的墙跟游泳池。
So far today, we've talked about some things that you probably should not include on your resume. And the first one is your objective. Because if it's too generic, it means nothing. And if you list what you want, then the employer should already know that, especially if it matches with the job that you want. Another thing that you should probably not include is a photo of yourself, unless you're pursuing a modeling career or acting or something that requires a good appearance. Well, we're going to continue learning with tip number 7.
Should I put this on my resume? Number 7. Quick response code. QR codes are growing in popularity as a tool to connect employers with a candidate's portfolio or LinkedIn profile. If you're submitting it online, skip the QR code. But if you're handing out hard copies at a career fair, for example, including one might help you stand out. And don't just include a QR code for show. It should link to something interesting and applicable. Connecting the employer to an online replica of your resume or a poorly written and sparsely updated site won't score any points.
The last piece of advice in our article today talks about the quick response code or the QR code. This is a very new piece of information that you can include on your resume, or maybe you shouldn't include it on your resume, and we will read about that in a minute. But Gabe, what exactly is a quick response code?
Quick response code, it has a lot of information in it. Actually, it just looks like a little square with a bunch of little lines, kind of like a maze on the inside. But when you scan it, or when you have a instrument that can show you more information, then you can see everything that it represents. So actually, if you use a QR code, you could put a lot of information on there to talk about yourself.
And I know a lot of businesses are starting to use quick response codes, these QR codes, at their place of business so that customers can find out lots of information about them quickly and easily. A lot of them put these little QR codes on their business cards so that you can use your smart device to scan it, and then you are quickly linked to their online profile. It's very convenient.
Well, we're learning all about QR codes here. The sentence here is, QR codes are growing in popularity as a tool to connect employers with a candidate's portfolio or LinkedIn profile. So if something is growing in popularity or growing in something, that means it is becoming more and more. Growing in popularity, that means it's becoming more and more popular. It's becoming more popular.
That's right. You could also say that something is growing in number, means that the number of that thing is increasing. So that's always a good thing. And here we see that QR codes are growing in popularity and that they can connect your prospective employer to your portfolio. And that's a really great word that we want to look at today, portfolio. If you have a portfolio, it's usually a collection of documents or information about yourself. And a lot of times I think of an artist's portfolio contains the work that the artist has done or copies of their work.
Or maybe I think of an actor's portfolio, and you would include a picture of yourself in your portfolio if you are an actor. It's a cover shot. Maybe it's right there on the front so that people can see exactly what you look like. So what kinds of things do you include in your portfolio? You might have an online portfolio where people can go there and figure out more about you there. Now, there's another word mentioned here. It's actually two words put together, LinkedIn. And this is actually a company, right, Carolyn?
Yes. So LinkedIn is an online website that tries to help people maintain their online portfolio so that if they want to connect with different people who are offering jobs or they have a job opportunity, it's very easy to exchange work information.
That's right. Well, we continue with our lesson. If you're submitting it online, skip the QR code. But if you're handing out hard copies at a career fair, for example, including one might help you stand out. Well, Carolyn, have you ever been to a career fair?
I have been to a career fair, but it was kind of a long time ago, and QR codes were not very popular then. So this is very interesting and new information for me.
That's right. And having one of these things, a QR code, if you're at a career fair where you meet different companies and representatives from companies, and they're talking about their businesses and maybe trying to get new people to come and join their companies. Now, if you're going there, you want to stand out. You want to be or sound like someone special.
That's right. And we see continuing in the article, and don't just include a QR code for show. It should link to something interesting and applicable. And we see a great phrase here, for show. If something is for show, then it's not really useful. Mm-hmm. It's there and it looks nice. It has a nice idea about it. It looks good, but it's not actually usable.
That's right. What is for show? Well, maybe you didn't really need to bring those fancy things, but you brought them just for show. It looks very nice. Well, we continue with our lesson. It should link to something interesting and applicable. Applicable is from our word bank. And if something is applicable, that means it is helpful or you can use it in a certain area. It's applicable. How else might you use that word, Carolyn?
Well, you do want to make sure that the information you provide is applicable, and maybe something isn't applicable. Oh, well, that's a good idea, but it's really not applicable here.
Well, let's look at the end of that sentence again. It should link to something interesting and applicable. Applicable is a good key word here. If something is applicable, it is helpful. You can apply it to your life or to what you need to do in your job.
That's right. So it is important to include information that is applicable in your resume so that your employer knows what you can do. Well, continuing in our article, we see connecting the employer to an online replica of your resume or a poorly written and sparsely updated site won't score any points. And we see a great word there, sparsely. Sparsely means not very often or things that are very far apart. So if you sparsely update your online resume, then you very rarely update the information.
And you could use that word like this. The houses in that neighborhood were sparsely located. That means they're not right next to each other. There was space in between. Think of another way that you can use that word today. Right now it's time for us to continue by enjoying a review skit, and then we'll go visit Michelle in the language lab.
Hello, hello, and how do you do? I'm back for another interview.
So, you're back again?
Yes, and here's my new resume. I'm sure you'll be really impressed.
I hope so. Let's see.
I added my home address. Since you're a legitimate company, I don't mind sharing it.
What about references?
I won't include those unless I really want the job.
I see you participate in activities for the disabled.
Yes. I have skills, experience, and unique perspectives to bring to the table.
I don't see your GPA.
Well, I'm not a recent graduate. And besides, my GPA isn't that great. So why include it?
And now, what is your objective concerning this job?
To get this job and a paycheck.
And where is your photo?
My photo? Well, as long as I'm qualified, it doesn't matter what I look like, does it?
Okay, is there anything else?
Yes, I included a QR code.
What's that?
A quick response code. Use that and connect to my portfolio online.
I'm impressed.
Yes, but it's not just for show. It's linked to interesting and applicable information.
You're hired.
Yay!
OK, 继续我们来看的是 applicable 这个形容词，它的动词是 apply, 应用这个字。所以形容词 applicable 是指合适的或者是可以应用的。例如 ,this management style is not applicable in Asian countries. 这种管理方式在亚洲国家是行不通的。若是适用在某个对象上的话，是用 to 这个介系词。例如 ,this free medical insurance is only applicable to low income families.这个免费的医疗保险只适用在低收入户的家庭。最后我们看的是 sparsely 这个副词。sparsely 是指稀疏的或者是稀少的，在这里延伸为鲜少的。例如 ,the sparsely attended meetings made the owner of the company very angry. 大家很少参加公司的会议让老板非常的生气。或者是 ,the military base is located in a sparsely populated area.这个军事基地坐落在一个人烟稀少之处。And now let's get back to our teachers. The past 3 days, we've learned a lot of great things about what we should and should not put on our resume. And I wonder if there's any other information or some other tips, Gabe, that you might be able to give us.
Well, I just think it's good to also show what you are interested in, maybe some things you are talented in, especially if you are going into a job that is about entertainment. It might be good for people to know what talents you have.
That is some great advice, and we hope that you will join us again on Studio Classroom. See you next time.
See you next time. Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. Early on the third morning, Tom Sawyer went and looked among some old barrels behind the village stores, and in one of the barrels he found the runaway. Huck had slept there. He had just had a breakfast of stolen bits of food. It was unwashed, uncombed, and dressed in the old clothes that he had worn in the days when he was free and happy. Tom told him the trouble he had caused.
"It's making the widow cry all the time,"
he said.
"You really ought to go back to her."
"Don't talk about it, Tom. The widow's kind, and I don't want to hurt her. But I can't bear that life. I can't bear the clothes, and I can't do the same things at the same times every day. The widow eats by a bell. She goes to bed by a bell. She gets up by a bell. I can't live that way. Can we go back to being pirates?"
Tom saw his chance.
"Well, no, we can't be pirates anymore because everybody knows about it. But we're starting a new gang. We're going to be robbers. But Huck, we can't let you into the gang if you aren't high class."
"Can't let me in, Tom? Didn't you let me become a pirate?"
"Yes, but that's different. A robber is more high class than a pirate is, usually. In most countries, they're really high up. Lords and sirs and things."
"Tom, you've always been my friend. You wouldn't shut me out, would you?"
"Huck, I wouldn't want to, and I don't want to. But what would people say? They'd say, 'Hmm, Tom Sawyer's gang. Some low-class people in it.' They'd mean you, Huck. You wouldn't like that, and I wouldn't."